For some mysterious reason, Jesus is the most famous figure in all of history. More songs have been sung about him, more artwork has been created of him, and more books have been written about him than any other person who ever lived. Yet why would a man who taught others to be kind get brutally executed? What kind of a person would attract so much love, yet so much hate?
That's the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, and today he shares an inspiring message of faith called The Most Important Question. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, senior pastor of Johns Creek United Methodist Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Before coming to Johns Creek in 2018, he served as pastor of Pasadena Community Church, a United Methodist congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida. He earlier served churches in Castleberry and Lakeland, Florida, in Atlanta and Athens, Georgia. Charlie is a graduate of Florida Southern College and Candler School of Theology at Emory University and earned a Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. He is the author of several books, including That'll Preach, Five Simple Steps to Your Best Sermon Ever, and Say Something, Simple Ways to Make Your Sermons Matter. And he's the editor of the newly released Abingdon Preaching Annual 2022. Charlie, welcome to Day One.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to be here.
You've now settled in as senior pastor of Johns Creek United Methodist Church, I hope, after 3 years. But of course, the last year and a half has no doubt made an impact on everything. But first of all, give us a snapshot of the church, its place in the community, its people, and its ministries.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, Johns Creek is the most diverse city in Georgia. At least it was a couple of years ago. And it has a rich diversity because there's so many wonderful schools in the area. You have many folks from all walks of life who want to live there. It's a beautiful community. The church itself has been there. Well, it was built when that area started to grow back in the late 80s and the early 90s. And so the church itself reflects many of the wonderful things about the community. It has a great preschool, lots of young families. It's probably the youngest church I've ever served. And so there's a vibrant energy and ambition and sense of mission in the church that is exciting to be a part of.
And as we're coming out of the pandemic, how are worship and ministry changing for the new normal?
Well, I like to joke and say the new normal is trying to please everybody with what we have to offer. You know, in many ways, we are staying the same in terms of offering the same worship experiences and opportunities we did before. But at this point in time, we're also still offering what we did during the pandemic. So outside worship services, remote worship opportunities. And I think the new normal for us, as it will be for many churches, is being able to offer that kind of variety for people. I think the pandemic has created in people the desire to worship online and to take worship with them on their phones. And so more and more people like that idea. And so I think churches are going to have to be more skilled at that kind of media. And so that's what we're learning and we're doing.
Charlie, you are a consummate preacher. You've written several wonderful books on preaching, and now you've served as the general editor of the new edition of the Abingdon Preaching Annual for 2022. Describe that resource.
Well, I think it's Abingdon's longest-running publication, or one of them. It's been around for many, many years, and you know, I've used it over the years in ministry. So I was delighted and honored to be asked to edit the material. And when they asked me to do it, I thought about something Fred Craddock once said. He said, you know, you have different kinds of commentaries. You have Monday, Tuesday commentaries. You have Wednesday, Thursday commentaries. And then you have Friday, Saturday commentaries. And so when Abingdon approached me about it, I really think they were looking for a commentary that was more a Thursday, Friday, Saturday commentary. Mm-hmm. One that really helped busy pastors open up the text and really helped them prepare practically a sermon on the text. And so I was excited about doing that because one of the issues I've had with a lot of commentaries is that they're wonderful at, for writing seminary papers, but many of them aren't very helpful and practical when it comes to the homiletical perspective and really coming up with a sermon that's mm-hmm. relevant and compelling. And so I've really worked hard in gathering material from contributors that, that help pastors in that way.
So what was it like to oversee working with so many other preachers?
It was rich. I mean, that was really the first time, and it is the first time I've been an editor, and it's a different perspective. But you really learn so much from many different pastors and many different backgrounds and ministry settings who are just thoughtful and sharp. And so it was really a treat for me to be able to read all that material and learn so much. I mean, it just expanded my faith and my abilities as a preacher, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And they must have liked what you've done because they've asked you to edit the 2023 annual as well.
Yeah, I was delighted for that, so I didn't screw up too much.
You're also teaching preaching at Emory's Candler School of Theology in the Course of Study program. Fill us in on that. And what are you learning from these up-and-coming preachers?
Well, first, because of the pandemic, this is the first time a few months ago that I taught the class strictly online through Zoom. And that was a different experience for me because I love the classroom. I like the energy and being in the classroom. And so I had to adapt a little. It went well, but I certainly enjoyed it. But I am very hopeful and excited about the preachers that I've taught. There seems to be a renewed sense of the importance of preaching in the students that I've taught, who really understand that it's not just one other thing that they do in ministry, but that they understand that the pulpit is the engine that drives the train of the church, and they seem to be taking that responsibility seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlie, your sermon today draws from several scriptures, including the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Would you read it for us?
Sure. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'"
This is a fascinating interchange between Jesus and his followers. What struck you here?
Well, the first thing that struck me was that they were a little slow in understanding who Jesus was and why he came. And of course, I have some sympathy for that because if we had been them in that particular context, not really knowing what God was up to in Christ, we would probably scratch our head a little too. So, I see in this text early in the Gospel of John, Jesus revealing who he is and why he has come. Mm. And of course, using the powerful illustration and metaphor of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them a while to understand that. Of course, they enjoyed the bread that Jesus gave them, But Jesus used that to help them understand there's a deeper spiritual hunger that we all have that only Jesus Christ can satisfy.
Well, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this, which you've titled, The Most Important Question. Charlie, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
This is Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening to Day One. But don't just listen. Why not join the Day One movement by supporting our ministry of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the radio, by podcast, and online? Your gift of any amount can make a big difference in so many lives. You can mail your contribution to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or donate securely online at dayone.org. Please give so that Day One can continue to share faith, hope, and love through powerful preaching. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Have you ever heard a golfer miss a 3-foot putt and say, Thomas Jefferson? What about a plumber mash his thumb and scream, Robert E. Lee? I haven't either. But some, rather inappropriately, shout the name of a man who was born 2,000 years ago in a backwoods town to a poor, unwed teenage mother. Many exclaim the name of a man who was shamefully executed as a criminal at the age of 33 and died homeless and poor. For some mysterious reason, Jesus is the most famous figure in all of history. More songs have been sung about him, more artwork has been created of him, and more books have been written about him than any other person who ever lived. For years, Time magazine has named a Person of the Year on its January cover. In 2013, the editors of Time decided to name the most significant person in history. They did an exhaustive study. Guess who won? Jesus. Yet, do we really know who Jesus was? I remember the first time I saw a picture of Jesus. I was just a little boy in Sunday school drinking grape Kool-Aid and eating graham crackers. On the wall of the classroom was a sweet picture of Jesus with children all around him. He was smiling and looked like the nicest man in the universe, a divine Mr. Rogers. He taught us to be kind to one another and love everyone. I was comforted by the picture. Yet as I got older, I began to wonder, why would a man who taught others to be kind get brutally executed? Who could bring themselves to crucify Mr. Rogers? What kind of a person would attract so much love, yet so much hate? Maybe a better question is, what difference does it make that a man lived 2,000 years ago? Can't we just admire him as a great figure of history and be on our way? Well, we can. But Scripture is clear that Jesus wasn't looking for admiration. In our assigned reading for today, Jesus said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." When you really study Jesus, who he was, what he taught, and what he did, you are faced with a question, a very profound and penetrating question. And how you answer this question will determine your destiny as a human being. To get to this question, I want us to take a look at some other things Jesus said. If we want to get to the real truth about Jesus, it would be a good idea to move away for a moment from what history and culture say about him and look at what he said about himself. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus makes an astonishing claim. He says, "The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God. Jesus claimed he was God. No other religious figure in history has ever made that claim. Buddha, Krishna, Gandhi, Muhammad never made it. Only Jesus did. Any person who makes such a claim is either insane or telling the truth. Ever wondered what God is really like? Jesus said, "Just look at me." Let's hear another outrageous claim of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus claimed to forgive sins. He claimed to have the power to wipe away all those things in life that put us in the dark, that make us bitter, and steal our joy. He claimed to have the power to set us free from those things in life that enslave us and make us right with God. Have you ever wanted a second chance? Have you ever wanted a new beginning? Jesus claimed to have the power to give you a fresh start. Let's hear another astonishing claim from Jesus. Most of you know this one by heart. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus claimed that if we put our trust in him, he will give us eternal life. A quality of life with God that begins now and is eternal in its duration. Jesus claimed that he could give us power over death. In fact, Jesus said he will give us food that endures to eternal life. Have you ever feared death? Have you ever wondered what's on the other side? Jesus claimed that if we follow him, we don't have to fear death. It's simply the threshold to a glorious life with him forever. So Jesus claimed to be God, to forgive sins, and to give eternal life. When we truly see who Jesus claimed he was, we are forced to make a decision about him. The life of Jesus demands a response. You can't read about Jesus and simply say he was a great teacher or a notable figure in history. That choice is not on the table. Anyone who made the claims that Jesus made is either a lunatic or is telling the truth. So the pivotal question for each one of us is, who is Jesus to you? Not who is Jesus to your grandmother or mother or father or friends, but who is Jesus to you? Is he insane or is he God? Is he crazy or is he Savior? Those are the only two choices we have. Maybe you're thinking, well, I believe in God. That is not enough. What kind of God do you believe in? We must define and know the character of the God we believe in. Colossians says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Several years ago, I recall taking our dog out before going to bed. As I was waiting for her on our screened-in porch, I heard a flutter behind me. When I turned around, there perched on one of our patio chairs was a screech owl. Its big eyes were just staring at me. It was a beautiful creature. I wondered what it was doing on my porch. Soon it dawned on me that the poor thing could not find its way out. So the first thing I did was open the front porch door and point the way out, as if the owl understood human behavior. The owl just kept looking at me with those big eyes. The next thing I did was walk outside the doors and try to wave the owl out. "Come on, come on." The owl continued to stare at me. Then I remembered that the porch lights were not on, so I turned them on so he could see his way out, and the owl just stared at me. I finally gave up. As I was walking up the stairs to bed, I thought, now this will preach. The only way I could free that owl and bring it home is to become an owl myself. And isn't that what God has done in Christ? God became one of us to set us free. We must remember what Peter Kreft told his class at Boston University. He said, "Christ changed every human being he ever met." If people claim to have met Jesus without being changed, they have not met Jesus. When you touch Jesus, you touch lightning. Perhaps you feel your heart being opened today. You have tried everything else life has to offer, and it has never satisfied. You've been there and done that, and have thrown away the t-shirt. Maybe you're ready to put your hope in Christ. In our reading from the Gospel of John today, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Rick Lawrence is a Christian ministry guru. He has written best-selling books and travels the globe leading conferences and seminars and workshops on how to grow churches and do ministry effectively. In his book, The Jesus-Centered Life, Lawrence writes about a day when he was leading a workshop for ministry leaders and pastors. He felt depressed and worn out. The material and techniques he usually covered were not exciting to him anymore. So he decided to throw away all his notes and ask those in the workshop to talk about how Jesus was active in their lives. He said for the next 2 hours, the room was electric with the presence of Jesus. He had never felt more passionate about a workshop before. After the workshop, Lawrence attended other workshops and became depressed again. He felt terrible and could not put his finger on it. He found a big, comfy chair in the middle of the conference arena, and as he sat there watching people walk by with their notes and books and resources, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so terrible?" Lawrence said that he heard Jesus' voice almost audibly reply, "Because you are bored with everything but me now. There is not enough money, there are not enough golf courses and football games and trips to the lake that can give you what Jesus Christ can give you. Only Jesus can truly satisfy. So who is Jesus to you? Your answer will make all the difference to your life." Let us pray. Lord, fill us with your love and grace so that we are never hungry or thirsty again. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, senior pastor of Johns Creek United Methodist Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, The Most Important Question, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your help. This is Peter Wallace. Next week, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend McGray DeVega, senior pastor of Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Tampa, Florida. I hope you'll be listening for his inspiring message called Our Annual Summer Trip to Mount Horeb. That's next week on Day One. This is Peter Wallace. If you appreciate faith-building insights for living a meaningful life, you'll love the new Day One book, Bread Enough for All, A Day One Guide to Life. It offers sermon excerpts on 12 vital topics of faith and life: love, forgiveness, discipleship, prayer, justice, joy, and much more. And it's ideal for small groups. For information or to order, go to faithgoods.com and click on Bread Enough for All. That's faithgoods.com. Now, our Day One preacher, Charlie Reeb, shares some final reflections on his sermon today, The Most Important Question. Charlie, you said for some mysterious reason, Jesus is the most famous figure in all of history. Yet you asked, do we really know who Jesus was? So what are some good ways for us to find out who Jesus was, whether we've followed him for a long time or haven't yet started?
Well, it may seem painfully obvious, but I think one of the best ways to really get to know who Jesus is and who Jesus was is to read Scripture, and specifically the Gospels. I think there is so much about Jesus that is misunderstood, that because people just don't look at Scripture. They listen to what culture says about Jesus or how culture portrays Jesus. And to actually look at what Jesus had to say is important. And some people might be really surprised at what Jesus had to say, both generally and about himself.
Well, you said Jesus said some startling things during his time on earth, and three of them you said were that he claimed he was God, he claimed to forgive sins, and he claimed that if we put our trust in him, he will give us eternal life. Powerful claims indeed, and they force us to make a decision about Jesus. The life of Jesus demands a response, you said. We may say we believe in God, but how do we decide what kind of response to make to Jesus and his claims?
Right. Well, the word faith and believe in are probably words that are overused and quite misunderstood. It's more than intellectual assent. I think a lot of people believe, well, if I can just somehow use mental gymnastics to just trust that, it's more than that. I think it's something you dive into heart first. It's a trust, of course, a believing in. But what follows that, of course, is following. When you trust Christ, you follow Christ. And you yield to his spirit that lives within you. So it also includes obedience.
I love the quotation by Peter Kreft you shared. Christ changes every human being he ever met. If people claim to have met Jesus without being changed, they have not met Jesus. In this crazy world we live in, how can we help others to meet this Jesus?
Well, I think the biggest way is to reflect him with our lives. You know, it's the old quote, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And I really believe that. I think people respond to how you behave and the love that you reflect. That's something they respond to. Words are cheap. How do you behave? How do you act? How do you treat other people? I think that resonates with a lot of people.
Charlie, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Well, I hope they take the question seriously because it is what I believe is the most pivotal question. We can say a lot about theology, a lot about faith, a lot about church, but it really comes down to what do we believe about Jesus, and will we trust him and will we follow him?
Charlie Reeb, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.